The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, Dr. Daniel Briscoe is one of Israel's most renowned ophthalmologists. He was born and bred in Ireland, but he's been living in Tel Aviv for over 30 years. He is, I suppose, politically connected, the nephew of the late TD Ben Briscoe and the grandson of the former mayor of Dublin, Robert Briscoe. We spoke to him on the show in the wake of the October 7th attacks by Hamas. But of course, much has changed since then, with the war dominating the headlines in the months since. Dr. Daniel Briscoe joins me now. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning.
When we talked to you, I mean, we all shared the outrage at what Hamas had done to Israel in attacking people, killing people and abducting people. But of course, much has happened in the intervening time. What are your reflections about the way Israel has carried out its response?
Okay, well, I think, Pat, I think that, first of all, I'd say that Ireland has been misled a lot, and there's a lot of misinformation about what's going on here, so much so that it's mind-boggling. So I'd start by making a problem list. And the first thing is to understand that Gaza was an independent entity, not occupied by Israel, at a border with Egypt and a border with Israel. And that's something that's generally bandied about, that it was occupied.
Okay, we seem to have lost
groups.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, no, we lost you momentarily, but you're back, Daniel. Thank you.
The amount of money and aid that was donated by many organizations and international groups to Gaza was phenomenal. And this money went into building huge military bases of tunnels, weapons, educating children in jihadism. And this is a jihad war. So the result was October the 7th. And that was when you had this pure, premeditated, unadulterated evil that you talked about, which was unleashed onto the towns and communities of innocent civilians. And many of people were burned alive. There were babies taken hostage as grandparents. A really horrible thing. And at the same time, you have to understand that Israel was attacked from all sides. It was attacked by Hezbollah, another jihadi organization of Iran in the north. And they were attacked from Yemen, and they were attacked from Iraq, and they were attacked from Syria. So you have 300,000 Israeli refugees, which nobody has paid attention to, and paying just lip service to saying you don't agree, or it was very bad that what happened to the people in the Gaza area. It's not really enough. You know, the number. There's a number, a lot of issues. For instance, if I talk about a problem list, if we go to that, the number of children killed, it was made a huge thing that there were something like 14,000 children killed. And then the United Nations revised that to 7,700. The Israeli estimate that it's about 2,000. But then you have to define what are children. Is a children an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old, as the United Nations defines? And if you take into account that Hamas, this jihadi organization, was training children as children's soldiers, and they had 25,000 graduating, you can look on YouTube, you'll find lots of videos of this.
You can see the videos of Hamas. I've seen those. But at the same time, the imagery we're seeing does show babes in arms who've been got at by Israeli bombs. That's not fiction. That's fact.
Okay. So let me explain again. So first of all, the figures are statistics. If you have a 15-year-old kid that comes along and is firing an RPG at you, well, you can get killed or you can kill him. And if you have tunnels and a whole system that was embedded into a civilian population in their houses, in their schools, in their hospitals, where you have military bases and hospitals, you have a choice. You can either let it go and then you'll die, okay? You can bomb the whole place and then you'll kill millions of people and commit a genocide, is what they've always accused Israelis of doing, but they haven't. By the way, the population of Gaza has grown, so it must be the only place where the population has grown.
How do you mean the population has grown?
The population hasn't shrunken down from the war. It's grown. So there's a growth, there's a natural growth.
I don't see how that makes sense. If you've got I don't know, maybe 80,000 people killed. And I know babies are being born because they're...
People, there weren't 80,000 people killed, first of all. And so all I'm trying to say is, you know, you have a situation where this organization has fired over 12,000 rockets into Israel. Apart from all of the other things, we were living under day and night under rocket attack. I don't know if you've ever been under a rocket attack. It's not a very nice thing. So you can either die. So you could probably say that I'm illegally alive and not legally dead. But that's basically, the Israel had a choice. They can move the population and fight what is being done and get rid of it. Or they can just say, okay, we're going to die. You're dealing with jihadis here. This is a jihadi organization. What I find very difficult to understand, maybe you can explain to me, why? What affinity do Irish people have with jihadis? What, you know, if you're teaching children to cut people's heads off from 5 years old, I mean, what affinity do Irish people have with that? I mean, there's a lot of questions.
The sentiment towards the Palestinian people is not aimed at Hamas. In fact, although you may call it lip service, people can condemn the activities of Hamas on October the 7th and the attacks on Israel, but they are looking at ordinary innocent civilians, be they men and women, because people are always telling us that, you know, Hamas is not Gaza. There are ordinary people who don't support what Hamas did, what Hamas provoked. And these ordinary people who are trying to look after their families are being bombed.
Okay, so I would ask you, where were the demands by governments immediately to put the jihadis of Hamas on trial in an international criminal court after that? We saw 1 month after that had happened that you in Ireland, or I say we in Ireland, I'm still Irish, in Dublin, they raised the Palestinian flag over the city council, which Hamas was delighted with. And they said, well, thank you very much. And you basically legitimized what they'd done. So you can condemn it, and then you can raise a flag over your municipality buildings, and then you've actually legitimized it.
Now,
where were the women's rights organizations when so many women were mutilated sexually and raped? And why was the UN silent about it until now?
Now, the NGOs are talking about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, and it is at such an extent that the IDF itself unilaterally decided to allow more aid in because they recognised, although Netanyahu did not appear to, they recognised there was a terrible humanitarian crisis in Gaza. So what do you make of those who condemn Israel for destroying infrastructure, hospitals, power generation, desalination, again, all of those things that are required to keep a place like Gaza going?
Okay, well, first of all, the water supply has been given by Israel most of the time. Most of the water supply comes from Israel. They said there was no electricity supply, but if you see, everybody's using mobile phones. So they must have very special batteries in Gaza if their mobile phones are working. They had plenty of rockets all the time, but they didn't have food. That's what they said. But there was food going in. And I think that bringing more food in was a very good thing. I was actually here very much for it, to bring in more food. But I would ask you, why is the World Health Organization and government so quiet about hospitals being used in Gaza as military bases and interrogation centers where they torture people and where they were holding hostages in hospitals? And using them as to kill, and there were hostages who were killed in hospital grounds, murdered. Why is it that the World Health Organization is so silent when hostages were held in these places? They were military bases. They were used as military bases. A hospital. And why?
And
why
we've had the Israeli ambassador to Ireland.
Silent about it.
She has been telling us this since the war began. That. They use ordinary Palestinians as human shields, and they've gone in to various places and uncovered tunnels and so on and so forth. But does that justify the bombardment of ordinary people who are sheltering in a school, for example, the UN school has happened?
Ordinary people were given orders all the time where to go to so that they wouldn't get hit. And that's what the difference between Israel. You know, people get killed in wars. We know that. People have been killed here, a lot of them. And we understand that people get killed, but you try and minimize it. And Israel never went, as people have said, to massacre people or to do that. They've done everything in their power not to do that. They've told people to get out of areas when they're bombing. There were mistakes here and there that happened, and there were a lot of Israelis killed by mistakes as well. So these things do happen in wars, and I think, you know, we have to be understanding that Hamas had used all of these it had embedded itself into hospitals, it embedded itself into schools. They were using schools to train children in warfare. Can you imagine? They celebrated 25,000 children of 14 and 15 years old that they've learned how to use RPG rockets and guns. That's jihadism. And it was in UNRWA, and it was in UNRWA facilities.
Do you believe that Israel can do no wrong? Because, our listeners are saying...
Actually, I'm one of the greatest critics here. So I'm not. But I think, you know, there's a total misunderstanding. I don't even know if it's a misunderstanding. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's what's called, it used to be called Jew-baiting, where you blame the Jews all the time for when something goes wrong. I just don't. You know, where was UNICEF in the last 10 years when it was well documented that tens of thousands of children were being used as child soldiers by Hamas jihadis? Why was there such silence from the EU and, from the Irish government? Nobody said a word about it. Nobody says, oh, we made a mistake, we shouldn't have done it. They funded it. You know, all of your tax money in Ireland, your hard-earned tax money, is paying for that. When you saw the flotilla, do you remember the time of the flotilla, when there was a big flotilla to allow a dock in Gaza, and they wanted to allow humanitarian aid in? So all of that brought in cement, and your cement made tunnels, and you have more tunnels than you have in the whole underground network of London and New York.
And the whole question of proportionality, I mean, everyone agrees that October the 7th was horrific, unjustified. We've made the point again and again on this programme, were it to be proportionate to the Irish population, we would have lost 800 people on such a day were it to happen to us. So it was truly horrific, numerically more terrible really than September the 11th, for example, just in pure numerical terms compared to the population. However, the response by Israel is seen by many, many people around the world as being grossly disproportionate.
Okay, as proportion, so again, I think we talked about this in the last interview, and I said the same proportion is, should Israel have gone in and burned families alive and burned children in front of their parents, tied them up and put them on burning tires, and done all of those things, chopped their heads off, because that's what they did to the Israelis? That would have been proportionate. There's no proportionate in war. That's a fetish that's used just to justify not doing anything. And again, you know, this is a war of survival. Israel at the moment, you know, and I could even talk about, you know, the recognition of Ireland of a non-defined Palestinian state. But, you know, the Israel is surrounded and is being attacked on all sides. We have 300,000 refugees we've had. We now have about 100,000. It's very, very, very difficult. People have been out of their houses for over 8 months. Okay, they're living in make-do places. And, you know, nobody has ever asked what's going on with Israeli refugees. And we have a very, very difficult situation. And in Ireland, they raised the Palestinian flag over Dublin City Council. And afterwards, they recognize an undefined Palestinian state without asking for anything in return. That is to say, we want you to recognize borders, which they didn't do. They don't do. They say from the river to the sea, which means wiping out of Israel. So I can understand that from Spain, because Spain has a tradition of of anti-Semitism, and they threw all the Jews out in 600 years ago, and where they had the Spanish Inquisition, where people Jews were put onto piles of burning pyres and burned alive in the squares, and all of that, and that comes from Spain, and one of their government leaders said, "From the river to the sea." Okay, so they don't want the existence of Israel. But I don't really understand what the affinity of Irish people is to jihadis.
All right.
You know, we're talking about jihadis here. And jihadis cut your head off. Jihadis are trained to do things. And if you listen to what they say, you should listen to what they say. Okay, because this is not just about Israel. It's Israel is just the front door.
All right,
Israel
Daniel.
Is just the front. And if you listen to what Nasrallah from Lebanon said the other day, he said he's going to rocket Cyprus. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. But anyway, Daniel, we have to leave it there. You have certainly stirred a hornet's nest among our listeners who can't believe the talk about, you know, children dying and whether they're 14 or 4, the justification of that. Anyway, Daniel, thank you very much for joining us. Daniel Briscoe, an ophthalmologist working in Israel for the past 30 years.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.